It really is an awesome thing to get in the presence of God. Listen, there is this joy, there is this presence of God, there's this embrace of God, there's this love of God, because Christ took care of everything. Remember John the Baptist in the Gospel of John? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, when you hear those words, you think of the entire world, that Christ is bigger, broader, he is higher, he is wider. Everything about him is triumphant over the issue of sin. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And my dear friend, you and I, we are included, taking away the sin of the world. And that's the reason we feel the Spirit of God come into our lives, the living presence of Christ, and are able to come before a throne of grace. God's grace, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. God, in all that he's done at the cross, is bigger and broader and wider than all of the sin and all of the junk and all of the guilt and all of the filth and all of the, well, even the devil's work. The cross took care of the devil. The cross took care of sin. The cross took care of death. The cross took care of hell. And we've been brought into relationship, and so coming in the presence of God and having the presence of God inside is absolutely, listen, this is the ultimate in life. To know the Creator as Creator and Redeemer. But we've got a problem, even as a believer. Though we have victory, though we have forgiveness, though we have a new nature, there are times that you and I as believers get in the flesh. I mean, read James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you don't have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, the Spirit of God speaks to believers who've gotten into the flesh and begun to act like the world, the fallen world. God says, "You adulterous people." Wow. You adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship, that is quantity, that is that connection, that is, actually, it's the love. It's the embrace of the world, the system, the fallen system, and all that it is. That's where the fights and the quarreling and the battling and the stealing and the killing and the self-ambition and the rage and the bitterness and everything flow. And to embrace it, to love it, to be deeply in friendship with it and identify with it, listen, it says is that we become an enemy of God. See, God is against the sin and the fighting and the bickering and the harming and the quarreling and the physical, you know, assault and, you know, all of it. And so as a believer, we've been saved from the power of sin, Satan, death, hell, and a new power has been brought inside us. There's a scripture in verse 5 that says, "Or do you think the scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely?" Now, I take that actually as a reference to the Spirit of God that he has placed inside of us. That the Spirit of God wants us to stay on track, on target, in his radiant fire, the fire of Christ. Now, verse 6 says he gives us more grace. Goes on to talk about the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So when we as a believer sin, when we as a believer, you know, mess up in this way, when we as a believer get angry and act like the world and feel like we have the right to just pour out vengeance and pour out fighting and quarreling and bitterness and rage and slander and malice and all that junk, are we happy? Does it cause us to feel like we are filled with the Spirit of God? Or does it bring the sense of oppression and even the enemy? Remember the scripture in Ephesians 4 You know, we're commanded not to grieve the Spirit of God with whom we've been sealed unto the day of redemption. We're told not to grieve, to make sorrowful the Spirit of God by fleshly sins from the old sin nature, from the old way of life. And that we are not to, well, be angry and don't sin. And don't let the sun go down in your anger and give the devil a foothold. So many times, the deceitfulness of sin, it's always going to tell you to go one way. The temptation is never your friend. You know, when temptation comes, we need to learn to just throw it out immediately. We read in the book of Peter to abstain from evil desires that war against our soul. And here, God is able to confront, and he has the right to confront. And you know what? It is the grace of God to confront us when sin is there. The result or the message is clear. We've sinned, not God. We've moved away, not God. We've grieved his Spirit. We put out the fire, not God. We've stopped bearing fruit. We've stopped having the joy of our salvation. So whatever the sin, whatever the issue, know it now, know it clear, know it always, that if you do fall into sin, remember 1 John chapter 2, I write to you so that you will not sin. I write to you so that you will not sin. But if you do, there's an answer. If you do, it's not over. If you do, you're not cut off and sent to hell. As the Heavenly Father, with the enormous grace of God, though he confronts our sin, and though he wants to do all to keep us from hypocrisy and bearing a bad witness, he wants to deal with the cancerous sin issues that we get ourselves back into. So God confronts it. That's why some Christians run from Scripture, run from church, run from other believers. That's why they can't worship well or pray well or let anybody know that they're really a believer, because sin dampens everything, grieves the Spirit of God, and cripples us spiritually. Thank God for James chapter 4, when he confronts, when God speaks, let him do that, because in the dealing with that sin issue, and it's uncomfortable, always will be, because that's the reason Jesus died, shed his blood. That's the reason for Isaiah 53. Sin is so big, so vast, it is humanly impossible to get rid of it, to beat it, to overcome it. So we have outside help, God in human flesh, at the cross, substitute, sin bearer of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Verse 7, James 4, God gives the answer when we're convicted. God gives the answer. Listen, not the Pharisees, not religious Pharisees that only want to stone us. See, there's no answer in that. God has an answer. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God. That's the invitation. With all your sin, whatever flesh, and however you feel, throw yourself before the grace of God to bring confession, bring a release. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. See the answer? There's the call. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It goes right along with 1 John 1, 9. If we confess, if we agree and bring it, if we acknowledge it, bring it before the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Here is now the living Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. He takes care of the sin of the world in all of its dimensions. There's nothing you've done that cannot be forgiven. But realize that whatever's been done, God can speak about. God can bring the light. God wants it to stop. God wants the ugly, destructive actions, attitudes to stop. Right now, surrender, confess, turn away from. Yes, you can, by the power of the Spirit of God in you. Turn away, put to death, Romans 8, put to death the misdeeds of the body. And confess and let forgiveness come now. Let cleansing come now in the name of your awesome and great Savior Jesus. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.